Well, hey, what's going on? Happy Wednesday. Nick Kirby here. Welcome to Chatterbox Reds, proudly sponsored by DSC Commodities. Coming up in just a minute, myself and Trace Fowler from Chatterbox Reds Live, late once again on YouTube. But first, let's recap Reds game out in Arizona. Reds taking on the Diamondbacks, game two of three of the series. Reds, of course, trying to rebound from that crushing loss on Monday night. Reds didn't get off to a great start. No hits, just one walk through the first three innings, as the Reds offense struggled once again early off Slade Ciccone. No score going into the bottom of the third. That's when Hunter Green gave up a double. He then walked Kevin Newman. Tucker Barnhart laid down a sack bunt. And then Blaze Alexander singled home two runs, and the Reds found themselves down 2-0. But in the top of the fourth, Reds responded right away with one out. Mike Ford smoked a single. Tyler Stevenson then crushed a double, 107 off the bat. And then a Jake Fraley sack fly made it 2-1. Then Jamer Candelario singled home the game-tying run, where all evened up at 2. Reds right back at it in the top of the fifth. Connor Capel had a leadoff single, his first start as a Red. Two batters later, Will Benson hit his first home run since April 27th. Reds took a 4-2 lead. But the Reds weren't done. In the top of the sixth, Tyler Stevenson singled. Stevenson would end up with three hits on the night. Jake Fraley singled. And then with two outs, well, all-star coach David Bell. Yeah, David Bell was officially named to the National League All-Star roster as a coach for Diamondbacks manager Torey Lovello. Of course, he's the manager because the Diamondbacks went to the World Series. But nonetheless, the All-Star coach David Bell went to Santiago Espinal to pinch hit for Connor Capel as the Diamondbacks brought in a lefty. And David Bell's move worked out because Santiago Espinal smoked a single to left field, making it 5-2 Reds. David Bell then doubled down. He went to Stuart Fairchild to pinch hit for Jacob Herdebees in his first start as a Red. And Stuart Fairchild delivered. He smoked a single at 103, making it 6-2 Reds. First time the Reds have scored six runs since April 27th. And that would be more than enough for Hunter Green. He was absolutely fantastic on Tuesday night. Green went seven innings when the Reds desperately needed starting pitching after an extra inning loss to the Giants on Sunday, and then Reds had to use a lot of pitchers on Monday night. Green went seven innings, five hits, two runs, just one walk, five strikeouts. Green's velocity was back. He hit 99.4 miles per hour at one point in the start. And Green going seven innings of the start, he's now done that three times this year. Andrew Abbott's done that once. Nick Lodolo's done that once, and that's it. Ashcraft, Montas, neither one of them have gone seven innings, so Green really starting to provide the Reds some length. Reds turned it over to the bullpen, and Brent Suter was perfect in the eighth. He struck out two batters, and then Buck Farmer, with seemingly a tired Reds bullpen, he got the ninth inning with the Reds up 6-2. Buck Farmer was fantastic. He just gave up a weak single to Eugenio Suarez, but nonetheless, he got out of the inning. Got the Reds a win. Reds now 18-24 on the season. Just a huge win for the Reds to somewhat stop the bleeding. After the game, here's what Hunter Green had to say.
Starting pitching set the tone in this one. Seven strong innings from Hunter Green. What was working for you tonight? It seemed like everything. And again, everything plays off that fastball, I'm sure.
Yeah, just trying to get ahead. You know, obviously my last start was against these guys. And just being able to get ahead with these dudes and make some quality pitches. Obviously good hitting team. They're back home. So needed it for the boys, man. It was had to come through right there for the guys. We've been working hard, trying to stay with the process and just stay within ourselves and just trying to go out there and do my job.
You're not unlike any pitcher where you're working off the fastball. Do you feel like you have much more command of that? Seems like you're able to work it in and out, up and down like you want to, whereas in the past it wasn't so consistent.
Yeah, you know, it's something that I've worked on and I'll continue to get better at as I progress through my career. But, man, it's been fun, you know, just working on it in the bullpens and trying to just really establish it. I know how good it is and how good it could be, so just trusting it and going right after guys and challenge them.
I know this is a long season, but it seems like you're turning a corner. If you are, what are the steps that you think you've made that you're perhaps turning that corner?
I think, man, getting ahead, trying to go deeper into games, you know, understanding the position I'm in and the impact I can have with the team, you know, as well as the other starters. Just going out there and trying to do our thing for the bullpen as well. Suter came in and gave me a big hug, so I know those guys that are, you know, when we have our shorter games and we're not going out as long, I know it's tough for those guys on the turnaround, you know, the next day or 2 days after, so just trying to give them some more time to rest. Not that they need it. I know they're dogs and they're going to go out there and compete, but just trying to do my job to the best of my ability.
You said you needed to get this one for the boys. Obviously, it's been a struggle. It's been a rough stretch for you guys. Hanging in there in the clubhouse?
Oh, yeah. You know, trying to, you know, just be as positive as possible and uplift each other. It's going to happen in this game. Thank God it's a long season. It's not like football. But it's exciting, you know, when we have days like today. We just got to keep going. Take one game at a time. You know, that's something that, you know, I'll probably tell the boys when we go inside is just, man, take one day at a time and stay in the present. You know, don't worry about the next game or the next series.
I believe this was our first post-game interview out here.
First post-game. Yeah. Hopefully a lot more.
Absolutely. I'll sign up for that one.
And here's Will Benson, one of the heroes with the big home run on Tuesday night.
I think as a whole, we knew at some point we were going to start putting things together. And obviously, like you said, the past 3 days, I think, is a testament to kind of how we have been as a unit collectively still working hard every day just to, you know, obviously keep pushing and keep going. So, you know, happy with what we've done, but we're going to keep going.
How nice was it to get a home run like you've been hitting the ball hard, man, and you're not getting the results, and then suddenly you get it?
Yeah, no, it was definitely a relief. But, I mean, that's my only job is to go up there, put together good at basketball hard. So, yeah, I mean, it hasn't been going my way, but to see that ball go to the fence definitely made me smile.
Hunter was pretty good today.
Yeah, I mean, that was excellent. You didn't have to ask me a question. Yeah, it was excellent. It was excellent. From center field, so I love playing center field. You get to see, you know, the action on the pitches, the location, and, you know, he was definitely locating the slider, and then he was putting that fastball right where he needed to. Another thing he was doing well is he was attacking well, so it's like those guys didn't have much room to, you know, be in between or breathe. You know, he was on them, so he did a phenomenal job, and he went seven. So that was what the bullpen needed.
Did you guys see anything different from Ciccone the second time through?
I think the biggest thing with him is, you know, knowing how his fastball plays. So his fastball is going to play with a little run and honestly a little ride. So you got to really stay behind it. And when you get that fastball, you know, get to it. I think, you know, a thing to his default is he doesn't really land that breaking ball very well. So kind of similar to what I saw in the video happen today, he didn't land the breaking ball, and a lot of our guys were just attacking that heater, and we weren't missing it. So that's kind of why we had success today.
And here's the man with three hits, Tyler Stevenson.
I feel as if Hunter has turned a bit of a corner again in a good way. And if so, what's he done to get there?
Yeah, he did. Had another great start tonight. It's always tough. That's why I was kind of talking with Graham. Like, these past two guys, like, their past two starts have been against the same team. So it's always kind of hard. Like, if it worked last time, like, you don't want to make too many adjustments and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, just being able to really just command everything. Like, I feel like he's done a really good job getting out of the middle of the plate and limiting damage and making some big pitches when he needed to. And, like, tonight he was one pitch away, and then they wouldn't have scored. So he was great tonight, and it's been fun to see him throw this well.
It's really almost as simple as pitching, like growing in the game and learning to pitch more than throw.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all of it, and that's something DJ is always preaching, and these guys are still young, and they're still continuing to learn, and it's not as much as, like, a stuff thing. It's like, I mean, all these guys have the stuff, but learning how to pitch and how to use it and how to change speeds, like, that's a huge thing, and that's what will make them great for sure.
Does it feel like the offense is starting to emerge from kind of the struggles of the month, that, you know, the last couple of games you guys have put some hits together?
Yeah, for sure, and I mean, we've all been trying to stay positive during this time, and we're all working. And I feel like some just haven't really gone our way compared to some of the other games we've been playing. And I mean, it's a long season, and I know everybody's saying that, but I mean, we're going to be fine. We've got way too many talented people on this team and on this roster. So it's been good just to see tonight, obviously, a lot of hits fall, and just continue this into tomorrow and a chance to win the series.
And lastly, here's Reds manager David Bell.
We have seen no-hit stuff out of Hunter, but what we saw tonight, do you see like the complete package coming together for him, an even better version?
More importantly, on a night that our team needed it, and we used our bullpen a lot last night. Obviously, the wins have been tough to come by, and he went out and did everything in his power to for the team. He did it for the team, and I think some of his best stuff, and we've seen it before, but I think it all came out tonight. But I think it started with just the motivation of doing it for the team when we needed it the absolute most, and he came through.
If he's turning the corner, what are you seeing that he's doing now that he's a better pitcher than he was a year ago?
Yeah, for me, it's all part of a normal development path. I mean, he's a young pitcher. I think what he's accomplished already has been, is saying a lot. I know that there's high expectations, but Hunter just needs to keep being himself, continue to work to get better. And I think what we saw tonight is a bit of an evolution of all the things he's working on. I mean, he did a great job with his fastball. Fastball's always been his best pitch. I think he's learned how to use it even more effectively. The location of that pitch sets up the slider. He really mostly did it with those two pitches, but it says a lot about locating and being efficient and making pitches. I think it was a great start and showed kind of where Hunter is right now.
All right, well, our deep drive of the day was Will Benson's two-run go-ahead home run in the fifth inning. Had an exit velocity of 99.9 miles per hour, traveling 388 feet to right center field. And our deep drive of the day, sponsored as always by Deep South Commodities. DSC is a leader in renewable commodities for biofuel production, specializing in used cooking oil collection, aggregation, and sales. Visit www.deepsouthcommodities.com for more information. Thanks as always to our friends at DSC. All right, checking out scores around the NL Central. Brewers beat the Pirates 4-3. Cubs lost 7-0 to the Braves. And the Cardinals edged out the Angels 7-6. So your NL Central standings on Wednesday morning. Brewers at 25-17. Cubs 24-19. Pirates 19-24. And then the Reds and the Cardinals are tied at 18-24. Reds 7 games back. But some good news, the Padres lost to the Rockies, the lowly Colorado Rockies, for a second straight night. So that means the Reds, believe it or not, they're just 2.5 games back of the Padres, and now the Washington Nationals, who are tied with them for the third and final NL wild card spot. All right, way much happier Chatterbox Reds live show. Here is myself and Trace Fowler talking about the game. Stick around at the end. I'll tell you, of course, as always, all the Reds minor league action from Tuesday night. A lot of really good action down on the farm for the Reds. And then we'll also preview the rubber match, Reds and Diamondbacks, on Wednesday late afternoon.
It's a winning edition of Chatterbox Reds. And by God, that feels so good. Nick, how you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling great. It's demoralizing as last night was. What a big win. Credit to this team. I'm sure they felt it like we did. They came out, they battled one of the more complete games of the year. I mean, top to bottom, so many guys contributed. Hunter Green stepped up in a really big way. Just a full team effort, and that's what you need when you're struggling like the Reds have been struggling.
Let's not forget, the Reds were down 2-0. They could have, again, these guys are professionals. They should show up every day. They should play to the last out, but that's not guaranteed, and it's the last two nights, if anything, have felt different. I don't know whether or not it'll continue, but they do certainly feel like they're having much better at bats. They're competing, and they're not just rolling over. They got a tough task ahead of them. I'm well aware of it. They obviously got to bounce back tomorrow, try to win the series, and then they got the Dodgers. So we'll get into all that. We got a pretty deep show here. We have Hunter Green, exceptional. Will Benson, Will Benson. Thank the Lord for Will Benson finally getting on the board. Candelario, Stevenson. I'm sure we'll get into some of the clutch hits that this Reds ball club got tonight, and I'm probably finish the show up with maybe some Brandon Williamson talk. So stick around. Let's do this first. I know we're going to talk about the offense, and by God, it was nice to see them pound out as many hits as they did. But Hunter Green, this is where I always kind of smile, and I know Nick, we're not going to do the dunk stuff. You know, we can't go on our victory tour parade right now and just kill everybody. Let's be humble. Let's just remind everybody nicely that Hunter Green, he went deep into a baseball game, only gave up 2 runs. I don't know if you've looked of late, but he's probably going to be an all-star. Just throwing that out there. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, going deep into the game. He's the only Red starter that can go deep into the game. The Reds have got 5 starts of 7 innings this season. Hunter Green's responsible for 3 of them. So shout out to everyone who lost their minds when he only went 4 innings. You know, I'm not going to win tonight. You know,
I told you don't do that.
You know what? I'm fired up. I've been taking it all day. You know what? I deserve it. I deserve it a little bit, I think. I don't know.
Hey, go ahead. I mean, I'm not going to stop you. Go ahead. If you want to take it. You're already halfway down the parade. You might as well finish it.
Now, Hunter Green was great today. The Reds needed a start. They needed some length. I mean, this was back-to-back games. Sunday was a 10-inning game in San Francisco. Yesterday, they had to use the whole bullpen, including Alexis Diaz, who didn't have it. Hunter Green going 7 innings on tonight was huge. He was great. Velocity was back. It was down the last start. It was great. It was just a fantastic start from Hunter Green. He looks like he's improving. He looks like he's developing. He looks like he's getting closer to being the full package that you want. He's not all the way there. He's going to have another bad start at some point. But he is improving, and that was the most important thing for Hunter Green, was that we saw some significant signs of improving this year, and he's absolutely doing that right now.
He attacked the zone tonight. I thought he attacked the zone tonight. He had good command. He had command of his slider. Used the slider to his advantage on a few strikeouts. Unfortunately for the no free ads, but unfortunately for the parlay that we keep posting on X, he did not get the 7 strikeouts, which caused them not to win the parlay. They had a chance tonight. But back on a serious note with Hunter Green, hopefully, if more than anything, this can kind of... at some point, I want him to break through the stigma or the worry of always feeling like you're on pins and needles of having to prove yourself, and you just eventually just kind of... you kind of just feel like you're there, you belong there, you don't have to prove anything, just continue finding ways to get better. And I'm not saying that's where he's at or that he's... I just have a hard time believing how young he is. There's a couple things that he said that stick out to me that I think somewhat telling of his mental mindset. One of them is he'd always say that he doesn't wish upon anybody to have to learn in the big leagues. And he said that out loud. And I think that he's even said a couple times where it's been tough on him to try to quote-unquote learn in the big leagues. I think more or less that just tells me that he feels pressure, that he wish he could not have that and be able to throw in AA or AAA until he gets some confidence underneath his belt on what it is that he feels comfortable doing on a night-in, night-out basis on the mound. I just want him to get past that and just go pitch, because I feel like when he competes and he attacks the zone, his stuff's good more times than not. Everybody's not immune to, how, like you said, having a rough outing. But the times in which I felt like he struggled this year, when he's just, and again, maybe it's command, but I don't know if it's as much command as it is commitment. Not to get all crazy tonight and use big words, but I think his commitment level on challenging guys has been significantly better. And when he decides he's just going to go after guys and not worry about, you know, somebody running into a fastball or whatever it may be, he does relatively well. And tonight, it felt like he got all the breaks that he never gets. He got some run support, and he had guys put the ball in play, which helps him from a pitch count perspective. So, all in all, you couldn't have asked for anything better than Hunter Green than what he gave you tonight, to be quite honest. I know I said perfect game last night. He wasn't perfect, but he was damn close to it. So,
well, and you know, Reds finally got him some runs. That's been... big issue. Last like seven starts, two runs, one run, 0 run, 8 runs, 0 runs, 4 runs. They got him some runs, and then he put up zeros after it. We've seen several times this year, and not to say anything really negative about the starters because they've more than done their job, but there's been a couple times this year where their offense has actually given them some runs, and they've given it right back. But Hunter Green put up zero after this team fought back, and this was a put the team on your back kind of night from Hunter Green. And the Reds need a few more of those this year, but this was a big time start from Hunter Green, and tonight he did it with the fastball and slider. 63 fastballs, 32 sliders, 6 splitters. Didn't get a single swing and miss on the splitter either.
No,
I don't think, or the Indian were even in the zone. So it seems like Hunter Green
was a base hit.
Okay, and it seems like when Hunter Green is on, he's just going to go with what works. And then like that last start, he's going to use those pitches more when maybe his velocity's down or the slider's not there or something like that. Not sure how well of a long-term recipe that is, but right now it's working. So it's really hard to be super critical of it because the times of late where he's just gone with his two best pitches, he's been his most effective.
I still stand by the fact that if he can develop a third pitch, it'll allow him to be able to utilize something if something's not on. Like he does get himself in trouble if he enters a game. Unfortunately, the sliders just he can't throw it for a strike, or maybe it's just again that day it's not on. Doesn't mean he doesn't have a good slider. Tonight he was able to locate it. He was able to throw it for a strike, and he had guys guessing. And if he's able to do that, then the two pitches will work. It's one of those things where if he's not capable of consistently having the command for the slider, he's going to struggle. But having said that, doesn't mean that he can't do it. So we'll find out as we move along. I'm not going to crown it one way or the other. Whether Hunter Green's made it or whether, you know, Hunter Green's continue to have a bunch of issues if he doesn't figure out a third pitch. So, you know, for the most part, listen, you strip away the stigma around Hunter Green, and you just look at his numbers, and if it was just a kind of a nameless player out there throwing the baseball for the Reds, I think almost the vast majority of this fan base would be thrilled to death with Hunter Green. But unfortunately, that's not the case. He signed a contract, whether it was, I don't mean to laugh, but some people think it was a big contract. It's not a big contract, but some people think that. It's just the concept that some people are going to have this in their mind, Nick. They already have their mind made up before he goes out there. And if he struggles a little bit, then unfortunately he's gonna have a certain part of this fan base that might not be pleased. I also want to say this: like, I think social media as a whole, almost not just the Reds, but just as a whole, I think that there's a small minority of people that can be loud sometimes, and it doesn't mean that's what's actually indicative of a large portion of the fan base. So just because people complain about Hunter Green time to time on Facebook or wherever the hell else you want to see your stuff, I don't think that if you polled people at Great American Ballpark, it would look even remotely the same as what you might feel on the internet.
One more thing on Hunter Green. I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, go
so
for
Hunter
it.
Green on Hunter Green on May 15th, 2022, 6.21 ERA. Hunter Green on May 15th, 2023, 4.60 ERA. Hunter Green on May 15th, 2024, 3.27 ERA. So this has been a guy that has taken him some time to get started. He's remedied that. He's off to a much better start. Again, we'll see how the rest of the season plays off. I'm not going to jump overboard on it, but he's off to a much better start. If he could pitch like he was able to pitch down the stretch last year, could really be in for a special season with Hunter Green.
Couldn't agree more. All right, let's jump into Will Benson. He got the leadoff opportunity tonight. David Bell, you're calling him All-Star David Bell, which I find hilarious. So I'm not going to use your shtick. I'll let you keep it up. But David Bell decides to stick him in the leadoff position, and he answers the bell, pun intended. So, you know, for Will, I don't know what to make of him. I think he's already shown that he has the talent, or it's somewhere inside him to play at a high level. But it's just the consistency part where you scratch your head and you ask yourself how much of this is actually going to be consistent. So. You know, we'll see if moving forward, if he's able to kind of break out of this little slump or whatever you want to call it that he's in. But it was good. It was good, if nothing else, to see him kind of get back on track tonight.
Will Benson just updated. He has a 752 OPS against right-handed pitching. He has not been as bad as the numbers indicate. He's faced too many lefties. And again, he's going to still have to face some lefties throughout the year. So you can't just be like, oh, he's only going to face righties. So that number is still a little lower than that. But yeah, I mean, he's still like he only has a 224 average and a 303 on base percentage. He still would like to see that on base percentage, obviously a little bit higher. But he has not been as bad as it's felt. And it's felt like he's been very bad. I've watched it too. It's felt worse. But when you look at the actual just splits, it tells a little bit of a different story. And I think it should hopefully encourage Reds fans more that, okay, now that he's in his role, I think he's going to see some improvement. And you saw tonight what these guys can do when they're in their role. You saw Santiago Espinal come off the bench, get a pinch hit single. You saw Stuart Fairchild come off the bench, get a pinch hit single. And even Connor Capel, he got his hit against a right-handed pitcher before that. I thought Jacob Herdeby's had a couple pretty good at-bats. The first at-bat, I think he saw six pitches.
Yeah.
Had a nice little line drive out to center field. Yep. This is good stuff. This is how you can survive with not all-star players or maybe fringe big league players, because you use the platoon advantage. You turn two average or slightly below average players into one average player.
Yeah. No, you've been screaming that all along. And I mean, I think I bid on that bandwagon last year, some way midway through the season, when I was suggesting that Jake Fraley, of all people, should be getting, you know, at bats towards the end of the games, even if it was a lefty on lefty situation. And I watched him face enough lefties at some point where I realized that Kevin Newman was a much better option. And then from there, moving forward, I've kind of been on the platoon bandwagon per se. So you're right. We've kind of talked about that on previous shows and extended periods of time, that this team right now just is not what they thought they were going to come into the season with. So there's guys that are asked to do things that they're not asked to do, and Will Benson's one of those guys, and hopefully moving forward that's not going to be the case. All right, let's get into a couple of other guys. Candelario, this is a knock on wood statement, but he really does look great. Like it looks like he turned a corner, and now he's taking what I would argue, he just doesn't look lost at the plate. And I would even piggyback on the statement we made just a minute ago. The reason I think we think Will Benson's struggling maybe isn't even so much as like what his splits are, as much as it's looked, right? And looks can be deceiving, because it doesn't really matter how you look if you strike out. You can have a great at-bat, you strike out. If you have a terrible at-bat and you strike out, you still struck out. So at the end of the day, the result's the same. Just because it made you feel a little bit better, I guess it really doesn't theoretically matter. But Candelario, I guess for what I'm getting at, he does look comfortable, Nick. It feels like he's back, which I hesitate to say.
And Candelario looks like the hitter that you signed. Right. He's not an all-star hitter. I don't think any of us really expect him to be an all-star hitter, but he's a solid, above-average hitter. You need a lot more than Jamer Candelario. He's not going to be... If Jamer Candelario is your best one or two hitters, the Reds are still going to be in trouble. But Jamer Candelario... And I said it. I mean, I was starting to get a little bit worried about the whole signing. Even me, I was starting to get a little bit worried about it. He's turned it around. This guy's a professional hitter, and he looks good. The bigger story overall is Tyler Stevenson, because this guy's playing great. He's playing outstanding on a team full of guys that have been underperforming. Tyler Stevenson, along with Ellie De La Cruz, is probably the only two players on this team that have overperformed. And I know you can look at Tyler Stevenson's 235 average and 739 OPS and say that doesn't scream great. But I think he's been a lot better than that. I think everyone who's watched his at-bats on a night-to-night basis, he's the one guy that has hit better than his numbers actually show. And he looks like a completely different hitter. He looks completely different behind the plate. Shout out to Tyler Stevenson, because you know he had to put in a lot of work this offseason. I don't think it just magically happened for him overnight.
No, Tyler Stevenson's the most improved player, I think, in my opinion, on this Reds ball club. And I know that maybe you could argue it could be one of the starters, because they've been very good. But from a position player standpoint, I 100% think that it is Stevenson. And I don't know much as a... I think we always thought his offense was going to be there at some point, at least from an average standpoint in Major League Baseball. I don't know if we thought that he was going to be like a silver slugger or anything, but I definitely think that his defense has allowed him now to be in a position where he's above average catcher in this league. You know, he just is. If you took a poll on what are the top 15 guys in the league, I think Tyler Stevenson shows up. So, you know, that's a positive, and I think from our standpoint, for a season that's been pretty debilitating, and let's be honest about it, it's been pretty deflating. He's one of the few bright spots, if not maybe outside of Ellie, the only other bright spot I can think of from a position player standpoint. And maybe I'm overthinking, and I'm not. I guess you could say steer, but give Stevenson his flowers.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been great, and I don't know. 18 to 24 somehow looks a lot better than 17.
They gotta do something. They gotta do something special. I'm not gonna act like they don't. But they just at least give themselves a chance to do something special, and it still matter. That's where I'm at. Like, you sweep the Dodgers, that's great. But if you would have gotten swept by the Diamondbacks here, and then you sweep the Dodgers, I hate to say this, but it still wouldn't have been like, it wouldn't have meant a whole lot, you know? We'll find out. I mean, they're giving themselves a chance at least. That's all we can ask. That's all we can ask.
Padres lost today. Yeah, 2.5 games out of a playoff.
Here we go.
It's crazy. I'm with you. I felt everyone's pain last night. I'm with you. But it doesn't match that they're only 2.5 out. 2.5.
You know what? I'm buying it. I'm gonna buy it. Like I'm not just saying that just to, like, to be funny. What else are we gonna do? You know, for all the people that want to complain and want to act like the, you know, you got to sell the team and this, you know, you got to fire our all-star manager David Bell. The truth is we're 2.5 games out of a playoff spot, and I guess if that doesn't give you a little bit of hope, I don't know what will, because this team feels like they were dead for the last two, three weeks.
And make no mistake about it, they're very fortunate to only be 2.5 games back. The Padres hold the final wildcard spot at 22-23. In the American League, the team that holds the third and final wildcard spot is 24-17. So it's
right.
I mean, look, they're fortunate to be where they are. Again, it's still not like it's still. I think if anyone goes, oh yeah, we're right there, I mean, that would be crazy, but
right.
They are still within reach. They still have a chance if they can, you know, put some wins together, stay alive over the rest of this week. They're going to still have a chance this season. And it's wild, Trace. The Reds only have a -2 run differential. -2.
Well, they were 14-10, and their run differential was excellent at one point. And then they just fell off the face of the earth. They fell off the face of the earth. There's really no other way to say it. They played the worst baseball that you could possibly play. Now, again, I'm not going to sit here and say that this is all of it, but they have had some unfortunate luck. Like, they've lost a bunch of one-run games. When one guy would step up one night, unfortunately, someone else wouldn't. And then the next night, that other person would step up finally, and then the other person wouldn't. And it's just like, tonight was the first time, at least in a while, it felt like everything clicked, and maybe moving forward we get a chance. I don't say we gotta win tomorrow, but you know, hey, let's just at this point it is what it is. I'm gonna go one day at a time. I'm not gonna sit here and try to make something out of something that it's not. And you know, if you want to deem the season dead on May 15th, then I'm not gonna stop you. And you know what? If you want to come back later and say that you were wrong, that's fine too. Or you come back later and say you were right. I don't really care.
The Game Time app is now an authorized ticket marketplace for Major League Baseball. That makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. With killer last-minute deals, all-in pricing, views from your seat, and the lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. With all-in pricing, you can toggle this feature, and it shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code Cincy for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem the code Cincy, C-I-N-C-Y, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. And we also want to remind you that you can call or text 988 at any time, day or night. The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is a place to get support for anything related to mental health. Whether it's an immediate crisis, simply wanting to find out how to connect with care, or anything in between, it's a 100% confidential, secure, and anonymous way to reach out for help when you don't know where else to turn. To connect, call or text 988 or visit mantherapy.org to get help. It's okay not to be okay.
You have it on the rundown right here. All-star David Bell. You know what, Nick? I'm not even going to rant. I'm going to let you do the honors on this one.
Boy, did I love seeing this come across my my Twitter feed on a day where my Twitter feed was just so ugly. So, you know, what a breath of fresh air. And it was so great to see Reds fans so excited to have a member of their organization represent in the Midsummer Classic. I mean, just so great to see Reds fans just rally around, be so supportive and excited about David Bell getting this incredible opportunity to coach in the All-Star game. So it's just wonderful to see.
Some are saying it's nepotism. Any thoughts on that?
I don't know.
If David Bell gets fired, here's a serious question. If David Bell gets fired before the All-Star game, does he actually still coach in the All-Star game? And if he does, what uniform does he wear?
He would not coach in the All-Star. Unless he, I guess, got picked up by someone else. I think they would replace him with someone else. But you and I both know if David Bell's like getting fired by the All-Star game.
I'm not gonna make a fool of myself and 100% say that just in case they don't lose every single game from now until the All-Star game, which is very, very unlikely. I get it. I mean, the percentage chance of David Bell getting fired but before the All-Star break is probably the same opportunity as me is going and buying a Powerball ticket. The chances are unbelievably bad, but I'm not gonna sit here and put myself in a spot where I don't need to, which is say something crazy and then it gets clipped up and it just lives on the internet forever. So, you know, let's not. What's the phrase they use? Like, let's not poke the bear. I think that's the term. So let's not do that. But it is cool. I mean, I'm not downplaying. It is cool, and I think David Bell has a lot of respect inside the game of baseball, which should speak some volumes. But let's face it, man. As I've said 1,000 times, Nick, I sit right down the middle on all of the discourse and all the stuff about the front office, the ownership group, and the general manager, the manager. And the reason I do that is because I understand where the hurt comes from a lot of these people that are just pissed off at the world. They just want to see their favorite team be relatively successful. And if you count playoff or postseason advancement as success, then they've been the least successful team in the entire league of baseball since most people have been watching and paying attention of our age bracket. Obviously, the generation ahead of us, they have the 1990, and then the generation ahead of them have, you know, the one of the greatest baseball teams of all time. So, you know, I kind of give a little grace towards that side of fandom. But I'll also say, like, let's also be semi-honest here. David Bell is not really the problem. And I don't mean to like try to piss people off by saying that, but he's just not the problem. And unfortunately, the problem lies in a little bad luck and a couple bad baseball players that didn't play up to the level that they're even capable of playing at. So kudos to David Bell, though. Happy for him.
Yeah, cool for him. And, you know, it's a cool opportunity. I'm sure it actually does mean a lot to him in all seriousness, you know, have some fun with this, but it's a big deal to get to coach in the All-Star game, get to be selected by a peer that's your manager. That's a big deal for him. When's the last time a Reds manager was I don't know what they call it, assistant coach. I don't know, bench coach.
I don't know. And listen, let's be honest. I think that some of this is the relationships that you have within the game, right? I mean, if you're friends with guy or friends with that guy, that's what a lot of this is. It's not like they're looking at the spreadsheet and they're saying, well, who's the best manager? Like, who's going to help me out in the All-Star game because they're just better at knowing baseball than me? That doesn't happen. So,
one nice thing that could be the result of this is, could help the Reds maybe get another potential All-Star. If Hunter Green could potentially get added to the All-Star game,
right?
Because, you know, Torrey Lovello says, yeah, you know, we'll take one of your guys. So it could also, I think Ellie De La Cruz, I would think, is a pretty sure thing at this point.
100%.
Major League Baseball would be pretty dumb.
Ellie De La Cruz is an All-Star. Ellie De La Cruz is an All-Star.
All right, you want to see Nick Kirby mad?
I'm not going to riot because there is this thing called arbitration.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't matter at this point.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to riot just because my guy can't go play in an exhibition game.
I will.
All right. Well, pitcher, you do the rioting. I won't be behind you.
Pitcher, I don't mind. You know what? Let's take the week off. Ellie, get him in there.
Yeah, Bryant Miller does chime in the chat and says Brian Price was an All-Star coach in 2015. So.
What a legacy. Let's go.
Brandon Williamson, I guess at this point, what do you expect? That's where I'm at. I don't know if I have an answer per se, but it's like, it seemed like a guy, in my opinion, that earlier this year, you'd felt like you kind of was hoping that he'd be ready to go and it was going to be up to him, or it was going to be like between Abbott and Williamson. But now that they kind of have this, for lack of a better term, they have a solid rotation. Yeah. Like, where does he slot in? I don't know if he does.
Well, remember, he's going to have to, he only threw 38 pitches tonight. So he's going to probably make 3-4 starts at least before you'd even would consider making any type of move. Knock on wood, we all know things can happen.
Yeah, don't say it.
Now and then. Overall, it's just it's this year based on last year is a good reminder, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, that you never should get too high on one part of your team versus another. Because this time last year, it was this starting pitching is a dumpster fire. They have no depth whatsoever, but the offense is great. And boy, has it completely flipped. So it's probably a good reminder right now that as good as it feels with the starting pitching rotation, as much depth as they have, it won't last like this forever. It'll balance itself back out at some point. And the same thing with the offense. At some point, you're probably going to feel like, oh, wow, this offense is all the way back. Probably when you get Marte back in there, hopefully when you get Matt McClain, if he's able to return this year. It's a good reminder that you never should get too high or too low on one aspect of your team, because there's going to be ebbs and flows, not just over seasons, but over stretches over multiple seasons. That just was kind of my thought when Brandon Williamson came back. I was just like, you know, today I was just like, wow, it's just crazy how it's flipped from literally 9 months ago.
I don't know what you do with Williamson. I really don't. I mean, if nobody goes down and everybody's healthy, I don't know. It feels like I like Brandon Williamson too. Like, I actually think that Brandon Williamson, you could argue, was the most consistent starter that the Reds had during the back end of the stretch last season. Now, having said that, that was last season, so it doesn't really matter. To a certain extent, but it'll be interesting to see. I don't want to sit here and try to make predictions on what's going to happen, send him to the bullpen, this, that, and the next. The only reason I'm hesitant to send him to the bullpen, for those that are kind of maybe suggesting that's an option, is just because, like, it just feels like when you make that decision, very rarely does it seem like you can bring him back and he could become, like, a legitimate starter again. And maybe I'm, like, overthinking this a little bit, but you know, it just feels like once you send him to the bullpen, I don't know. It would just take a hell. It would take a hell of a lot. So my guess is he'll probably throw in Louisville, and then inevitably somebody is going to need a day off from every now and again, and you slot him in there, and you kind of keep it moving type thing. So we'll find out. We'll see what they do, but But Brandon Williamson, I'm glad to hear that he's throwing again, because it did feel like we didn't get a lot of information out of him, Nick. Like, we didn't really get a lot of, like, hey, this is the problem or this isn't the problem. Just glad to at least see that it's not one of those situations where he's not going to be back all year. So that's good news.
Yeah, I wouldn't even consider the bullpen. I mean, right now you have Sam Moe and Alex Young at AAA, and
right,
inning for inning, they're probably at least as good as Brandon Williamson in a relief role.
And Big
Tone. You're not getting a whole lot of added extra value. So you would keep him in that spot unless, and again, we talked about this before, unless they think that this current staff would be okay with a 6-man rotation. I have no problem with that if they think that it wouldn't mess up Hunter Green or Frankie Montas, or, you know, go down the list. I don't think they will either, because they had an opportunity and they didn't with Nick Martinez. Maybe Brandon Williams would change that, but it doesn't feel like it would. But I wouldn't be against that if they don't think it would mess any of those guys up. But good to have another option. That's the most important thing, because you never know when you're going to need those options.
100% agree. Last year taught us that. If anything taught us that you shouldn't be complaining about starting pitching depth, last year was a perfect example. And it is only May 15th. Let's not sit here and act like, you know, we're on the final stretch of the season. And we have some major issues on being able to find guys' spots on where they can get opportunities. I'm sure there'll be some more opportunities that arise, and we'll go from there with it. But I would just say the final little quick point about Brandon Williamson. I don't think Brandon Williamson, and I, as much as someone that loves Brandon Williamson like myself, I think he's got a little dog in him. He's a competitor. I appreciate that out of him. I don't think he's good enough to elicit a 6-man rotation, personally. Like, it'd be one thing if I thought that he was like, I don't know, let's just close our eyes and say that it's in a perfect world, Rhett Lauder, a season from now, just dominates every spot that he's ever been. Rhett Lauder just continues to dominate. You find yourself in a position next year where you're like, we got 6 legitimate big league starters. I could be convinced them that maybe you do the 6-man rotation thing, you keep everybody fresh. But again, I'm not trying to kill Brandon Williamson by any stretch of the imagination, but two reasons. One, last year's great, but let's not also act like he didn't come into the season with a little bit of concerns. And then two, he's just coming off of an injury. I'm not going to be in a hurry to thrust him into the major leagues. I'm okay with him getting a significant amount of rehab starts and or throwing in AAA for 3 or 4 or 5 starts. And if we're still at a position, Nick, at that point where nobody's gotten themselves in a position where they need a break, then I guess that's just good for the Reds. Leave it at that.
I think the only starter that would maybe be 3, and they would have to be really, really bad starts away from me considering swapping out, would be Ashcraft. Ashcraft's the only guy that, and again, they would have to be 3 terrible starts. But Ashcraft's given up a lot of home runs now, back-to-back years. That's a little bit of a concern for me long-term.
I think Abbott's another guy.
Yeah, but I mean, Abbott's thrown the ball very well. So
He has, but I'm saying, like, if you can skip a start every so often with Abbott just to make sure he's fresh at the end of the year, that's okay too, is what I'm getting at. I'm not saying you send Abbott down. I'm just saying that you throw Abbott on the 10-day IL every so often and call it, you know, shoulder soreness or something, and you give him a chance to miss a start or two, and then he comes back. And again, I know people might get up in arms, but this is a long, long, long season. And we've seen what happened down the stretch last year. So I'm just playing devil's advocate. These are all the options. Not saying that that's what they should do, to be clear.
All right, well, let's get you caught up on all the Reds minor league action from Tuesday night. Start off with AAA, where the Louisville Bats won 11-4 over Columbus. Bats have now won 7 of 8 to improve to 22-18 on the season. And despite the great win, was a down performance again from Connor Phillips. He walked 6 batters over 4 1/3, gave up 4 earned runs. Connor Phillips has now walked 28 batters in 33 2/3 innings pitched for the Bats with an ERA of 8.29. Tony Santion also pitched in this game. He walked 4 batters, and he went an inning in 2/3, Somehow, though, Santillan worked around that, didn't give up a run. So good for Tony Santillan, who continues to have a fantastic season in the minors. Blake Dunn was 1-for-4, did drive in 2 runs. Reese Hines also 1-for-4. He did walk and drove in a run. Nick Martini, he was on base 4 times. Nick Martini now has a 529 on base percentage, OPS of 1362 in his 4 games with Louisville. And LeVon Soto, he was 1-for-3, also walked twice and hit a home run, number 2 for him. All right, down to Double A, Chattanooga, they won 6-2 over Birmingham. Lookout snapped their 4-game losing streak. They improved to 11-23 on the season. Story of this one, though, was, of course, Chase Petty. He was brilliant. 5 innings, struck out 9 batters, just gave up 1 earned run, only 3 hits and 2 walks. Petty now has a 1.80 ERA and 3 starts in May, 18 strikeouts in 15 innings pitched. Petty, after a rough April, really looking like the prospect on the rise for the Reds as a starting pitcher. Tyler Callahan, he was 1-for-4 with a walk, also stole a bag. He's got 12 on the year. And Austin Hendrick, he had a good night, 2-for-4, stole his 6th base of the season. All right, down to High A, Dayton Dragons. They won 2-1 over Great Lakes. Dragons improved to 15-19 on the season. And Brandon Williamson in this one threw 3 innings, just 1 hit, no runs, no walks, 4 strikeouts. Brandon Williamson making his first rehab start, trying to come back. He was really good, threw 38 pitches, 28 of them were strikes. So a very strong return for Brandon Williamson. We'll, of course, continue to monitor him. Sal Stewart had a big day, 4-for-4 with a double. He drove in 2 runs. Cam Collier's struggles of late continued. He was 0-for-3 with a walk. Hector Rodriguez, 1-for-4 with a double. All right, now down to Low A. Fortunately, the Daytona Tortuga is the only Reds affiliate that couldn't get a win on Tuesday night. They lost 4-2 to Clearwater. Tortugas fall to 18-16 on the season. We did see both of the top pitching prospects for the Tortugas. Adam Cerwinski, the lefty, he gave up 7 hits and a walk over 3 innings, but he somehow managed to only give up 1 earned run. So somewhat of a decent bounce back for Cerwinski, who really did struggle for the first time all year, his time out before last night. And then Andrew Laureano, he gave up a run for just the 2nd time this season, only giving up 2 earned runs. He now has a 1.04 ERA. He struggled a little bit with his command, walking 3 batters in his inning of work. Alfredo Duno, he was 0-for-3, but did walk twice. Ricardo Cabrera, he was 0-for-1, but he only got 1 at-bat and left the game. No word on the reason for that. All right, and then also the Arizona Complex League was in action. The ACL Reds, they won 4-2 over the Guardians. Not a whole lot in this one. Sammy Stafura was 0-for-4, and then Shengen Lin actually got the night off. All right, well, Reds and Diamondbacks. Reds trying to get out of Arizona with a series win. That would certainly be a big, big deal for this team. 3:40 start time out in Phoenix. Andrew Abbott, 2-4, 3.35 ERA, going up against Brandon Pfaadt, 1-3, 4.60 ERA. The righty, Brandon Pfaadt, his last start against the Orioles, gave up 3 runs over 6 innings pitched. Pfaadt's really been inconsistent this year. Strikeouts, they've been crazy inconsistent, very up and down. He had 1 start where he struck out 11 Seattle Mariners, but his last start against the Orioles, he didn't strike out a single batter in 6 innings. Pfaadt was a top 25 prospect before he debuted. Kind of a local guy, born and raised in Louisville, actually played baseball at Bellarmine University in Louisville. Pfaadt was incredible for the Diamondbacks, kind of surprisingly in the postseason. Had a 3.27 ERA in 5 postseason starts, and he was pretty good against the Reds last year. Active Reds are 3-for-27 against Pfaadt. Just go down the list. It's not pretty. Benson 0-for-3, De La Cruz 0-for-2, Fraley 1-for-3, India's 0-for-3, Steer 1-for-5, Stevenson 0-for-2. So those numbers, nowhere to go but up. All right, for the Reds, Andrew Abbott, his last time out at the Giants, he gave up 2 earned runs over 5 innings pitched. Abbott's never faced the Diamondbacks in his career. In fact, there's only 2 batters that have faced him. One of them is Jock Peterson, who's 0-for-3, but I would highly doubt that he'll be starting against the lefty Abbott. Randall Grichuk, however, 1-for-3 with a homer and a walk. He will most certainly be in the lineup against Abbott. Well, thanks so much for listening today to Chatterbox Reds. Boy, was it nice to talk about a win today after that rough game on Monday, but hopefully some good vibes going forward. As mentioned, if the Reds could find a way to get a series win in Arizona, what a lift that would be. If you're not subscribed to Chatterbox Reds, make sure you do that wherever you listen to this podcast. Also, if you could, leave us a 5-star review. Thank you so much to everyone who has done that already. It really does mean a lot. If you could take just a few seconds of your day to do that. But most importantly, tell a Reds fan about Chatterbox Reds, that we do these podcasts every single day, bright and early the morning after every single game. Reds are going to be on the West Coast against the Dodgers the rest of this week. So if you're not able to stay up for these games, we'll be able to tell you about it bright and early the next morning. We'll hope that you have a fantastic Wednesday. We'll see you on Chatterbox Reds Live on YouTube around between 6 and 6:30. We'll go live in the ninth inning. And then, of course, if you miss that, we'll be in your podcast feed bright and early on Thursday morning. Have a fantastic day. Go Reds.